Hi there. We just wanted to take a quick moment to give a content warning at the top. Our conversation of the wilds, the show itself, contains depictions of animal death and self-harm. And obviously, we'll be discussing these things. There are resources available in the show notes for anybody who needs them. Thank you and take care.
It's about to get wild on post-show recaps. My name is Grace. I'm here with one of my co-hosts, Jess. Jess, how you doing?
Hi, I'm here with cake. Does anybody want this ginormous piece of chocolate cake that definitely won't knock you out?
I don't know. Ariel is also here. Ariel, would you like a piece of cake?
I mean, do they have that at Magic Camp? I don't know. It doesn't sound as fun as that.
I will say that as soon as Josh had his like intro video include Magic, I was like, favorite right there. Called it. He's my favorite. Won't be changing my opinions. That's it. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say this up front. I was more easily able to remember the girlfriend's names of the two male characters we were talking at the end than I am of any of the new male characters on the show.
So one of them is Marisol
and one of them is Julia.
Yeah. Honestly, kind of same. So it's fine.
Yeah, season two of The Wilds premiered on Amazon Prime. All of the episodes have dropped. We have watched one singular episode and are trying to remember all the boys' names because there's like 15 new characters on the show.
Yeah. So give us some slack. Cut us some slack, I think, because cut us slack also, one, for not being able to remember names because I'm bad at that in general. But two, the fact that I cannot binge the show is physically painful for me currently.
Like, so, as if you were like a bird, perhaps being like decapitated.
I wouldn't say that painful, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe we should say up front that, like, get out of here if you haven't seen the premiere. Because yes, we're going to talk about things, including decapitation of seemingly live birds.
Yeah, we're going to go full spoilers for episode one. Don't spoil us on anything else, please.
Don't. If you spoil me, stop it. Don't do it.
Stop. If you're in the middle of spoiling me, stop it.
Stop it right now. I will be very upset and I honestly will never forgive you.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take our temperature check immediately after watching one episode. I feel like a fairly different vibe, although we do, you know, cut back and forth a fair amount to our OG crew. The episode title called Day 30/1. So we're going to be in weird time shenanigans, which we already were in season one in terms of like being in the bunker, knowing that these were like flash forwards, I guess, if you will, and then we're flashing back, or the present time is when they're on the island, and yet now we have day 30 and also it's day one for the boys. So time, Ariel, we can't stop talking about time on post show recaps.
I'm just glad that there are no stairs to speak of here in this show, you know, after Russian Doll, and now I'm climbing the staircase. Like,
yeah,
thank God there's no stairs on the island
Jess, give me your immediate feedback. You have pretty much just finished watching episode one. What are your takes so far?
I'm enjoying it. My one caveat is that, like, gosh, I missed the girls' side of things so much that, like, it felt like we didn't get that much of them because we were, like, also learning about the boys' side, the control group. And because such a heavy thing happens on the girls' side, it would have been nice to spend more time with them considering all that happened. And it, like, yeah. But overall, I'm so happy to have this show back. And I'm so fascinated to see what's going to happen on the Boyce Island because we have some new, very interesting characters.
Yeah. Ariel, what'd you think?
I am super lucky because I didn't watch season one until we covered it very recently. So I didn't have to wait nearly as long as a lot of people, you know, a lot of people in the Discord talking about how thirsty, quote unquote, they were for the new episodes. I think for me, this is one of those like expectations things where I was worried that the entire premiere was going to be the boys. So I was really, really happy that we got as much of the girls as we did. It really felt like a good balance. And I liked the guys. Like, I don't know, maybe it's my love language when somebody asks me how I'm feeling, because that guy, his name is Julia, because that's what his girlfriend's name is.
Seth.
Julia's boyfriend.
Yeah, Julia's boyfriend. He might be my favorite. And I love Raph, too.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to, though, right? Like, we'll talk immediately my sus meter is up to the sky with Seth because I'm like, he's so nice. He's so nice.
No.
He's going to be bad. He's going to be. And Roth is also on my sus meter. He, like, definitely killed somebody or something.
Yeah, he's in handcuffs. do you know what's with Seth? He's a sibling. He's a stepbrother of someone. And I feel like you can't have the boys, who's the Confederate on the boys' side, like, yeah, it's a sibling.
It's another sibling.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm feeling like these two are at least. I don't have sus on either of them, I don't think.
So I have sus on everyone.
I have sus on Raph because he's in handcuffs, but other than that.
Raph did something.
I have sus on that dead body that we saw.
Yeah. Also suspicious. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought the episode was pretty good. Like Uriel, I thought that they did a pretty good job of like balancing between the guys and the girls, and I think that there's enough with the guys to at least like keep me interested to start the show. I do think that the like Nora situation, just being like, yeah, she floated away and she's dead, and you're like, what? Wait, what? That's it? That's the thing?
So quick.
Yeah. Okay, did we see, is it me? Okay, so it was all happening very fast. It seemed like Rachel did see Nora put up her hand like one last time before she disappeared into the water. Is that what y'all's experience was?
I feel like it was so jarring to just be like, yeah, Nora's not on the show.
Nora's just gone. Like, yeah. Nora, what, died? No. Here's what happened.
She got canceled. She had a Confederate flag hanging in her.
There was a scuba team, and they were prepared, and they were out there, and as soon as she went underneath the water, they grabbed her. I don't know how scuba works. Shoved a thing on her mouth to give her oxygen, and they got her out of there. Like, I am so sus of the show at this point that I'm like, Nora can't be dead. They must have just taken her off the island.
I mean, this is a thing of, like, TV show rule number one is if you don't see the dead body, then they're not dead. Right.
Especially on this show.
I have very real reasons to think that that's the end of Nora.
I mean, if Rachel's gonna lose her hand and then Nora's just gonna come back, then where is the metaphor going? Like, where did it go? The hand, the missing hand, the missing twin. Why did we do this?
Yeah, and I think a little bit too, at some point, like, I can't remember what show this was, but I was getting so frustrated week to week on a previous, and I honestly can't remember what it was, where it'd be like, yeah, they're dead. Oh, they're not actually dead. Oh, you thought that person was dead? Oh, they're not dead. And it's just like, at some point, you have to do the death, like, for real.
I guess my point is that, no, Nora is definitely not showing back up on the island, because we need to put doubt on Leah, and we need Leah to not be able to find the pit and like freak out and lose her mind a little bit. So Nora is no way coming back to the island. But I am not giving up on like the idea that potentially she is off in the bunker being held hostage by Miss Thing and her band of cronies.
Gretch. Listen, we've never seen Gretchen and... Have we? Have you ever seen Gretchen and Nora in the same room? Is Gretchen going to take off her mask? Like, Mission
Impossible?
No,
they have dinner together.
They have pancakes. They have pancakes.
Never mind.
All right. Let's jump into our recap of season 2, episode 1, day 30/1. We start with Dottie, actually. She needs an account of that day. This is the shark attack. Talking about how like she could hear them but can see them. She can still hear them. Nora got caught in the waves and then was gone. Some people froze, but some people knew what to do right away. Dottie cauterizes Rachel's wound, and
this is hardcore stuff.
It's hardcore.
I feel like we're
stuff.
Getting so much gorier in season 2 in a single episode than we ever got in season 1.
What is the Amazon algorithm telling them? Like, we need more gore. We need more blood. We need more cauterizing.
And they're talking about some let the moment shatter them. Leah brings Fatim to the hole that she had been trapped in the pit, but it's gone.
Like, the thing is, think about the logistics, right? Okay, so we have one girl, shark attack, loses a hand. other girl gone into the ocean. We're going to send a team out to fill in the pit, though. That's where our attention is going to be focused.
Yeah, we blow the whole thing.
Or is the island, speaking of blow the whole thing, is it just like there's just like a little bomb like on the sides, so like the dirt falls in. You don't even need to get anyone there.
No, they needed to spread the leaves on it, though, to make it look like, oh, there never was a pit.
They have
here.
A drone that can like pick up leaves. Like those little wow. Toy Story, yes, toy the things. The claw, yeah. And they like move it. I don't know.
I just figured they sent out Cake Blake to go do it. You know, like he's always the one that ends up out there.
Yeah.
He's like offering cake to like the animals in the forest. He's like, do you want cake?
Like,
huh? Do you
want cake?
Yeah. So the hole is gone. Rachel's talking about how there were no upsides. She doesn't think there ever will be. But Leah says this is the moment that tied them together into something more than they were. They became a family. 3 weeks ago, they didn't know each other. Just awkwardness, glances, politeness. And this is where we cut to a plane full of new characters, the boys. And yes, Blake comes out. Anybody want cake?
He's so creepy too when he does it. Like, I'm not taking cake from you, sir.
Also, is it only chocolate cake? Like, I would love like a buttercream, like vanilla. Mm. It's just personal preference. Like, they would have to offer me something else because I would just say no, thank you. And then how are they going to knock me out?
All these people are taking cake, and do you have to eat the whole thing to be knocked out? Because if so, no one's finishing. That piece is huge.
Yeah, but they only picked people who wrote on their check from. Yeah, do you like chocolate cake? It's a very important part of the vetting process.
In the poll to get on the plane.
Do you like chocolate cake? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The intro videos for these characters, first of all, I love this approach to introducing us to the characters because you get like little snippets of who each person is. And of course, my favorite, Josh, went to magic camp and immediately my heart swelled up three sizes too big. And I was like, oh, that sounds bad. Like I'm going to die. But anyway, Josh, immediately my favorite.
And my favorite, Kieran.
Stop it. You stop right now. We will kick you off this podcast.
Listen, Triple Didge. You can't be liking us.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
Is that an insult? Like, isn't, is
yes,
that a
yes, because SAT scores are out of four digits. So if you only got three digits,
thank you.
Then you're
I don't know
solo.
If this is bad or good.
And the joke is, I mean, when I was in high school, the thing was, and I don't know how factually accurate this was. And obviously this is the thing. This is a thing in the States. I don't know if I'm sure you
we
standardized
don't have SATs.
Tests are horrible everywhere, but you don't have SATs. Yeah. I imagine in Canada. There was a joke where it was like, you got five. So it was at the time it was out of 1600. And the joke was like, just for putting your name on both. Cause there's like there's two, math.
And, now, but now it's three parts.
If you just put your name on it, you get 500 points. So it's like, you know, it's like a low barrier to the initial entry.
The extent of my SAT knowledge comes from Saved by the Bell when Zach Morris got a 1502 on his SATs.
Very unrealistic.
That is really high.
Not for Zach Morris.
I think it used to
time out. That is very unrealistic.
That's the point. Everybody, Mr. Belding thought he cheated. We didn't cheat.
That's
he got
right.
a 15
okay,
yeah,
because
it's now it's three parts. It used to be like math and English, but now it's like math, writing, and reading or something like that. So it's like three. But yeah, so there's lacrosse. I called him lacrosse bro, who ends up being Kieran. Because I was like, I don't know who this guy is. Uh-huh. And then is it...
You get Ivan showing off his closet. He's like has a shirt that was like a bunch of an ampersand shirt that's like blank and it's like, if you don't know these legends, I won't engage with you. I don't know these people.
I didn't either.
Like,
Alice?
Are they about to be on Survivor? Like, what is this?
BTS? But, maybe they. Yeah. What? I don't know. Who are?
I don't know
they?
Who you Alice was back. On there. Who the heck is Alice? The only thing I could think of was like Alice in Wonderland, and I was like, I don't think that's right.
No, that
there was one that made me think of like a law thing. Frederick. Was it Douglas? Debbie Douglas, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe.
You don't know these legends. Well, hopefully you'll continue to engage with us on this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then there was Bo, who like didn't know how to describe himself, which was really cute. And then we see like Scotty come from behind the camera. And he's like, I'm a savvy and motivated entrepreneur. And I was like, all right. There you are.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have the names, which is Tony and Zora and Maya and Alice and James and Ralph and Langston.
Who the hell
are these fashion designers?
Langston
Ralph
Hughes?
Lauren.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Are they fashion designers?
Tony, Zora, we'll Google. We'll get the answer to this.
I feel so uninformed Maya and uneducated Alice. Right now.
No, this is good because then nobody can come for us because we solved it on the pod.
Oh, that's how that works?
Yeah. Not that people ever pause. Oh my God.
This is very, but it's, I believe these are 20th century black writers.
Yeah. Okay. Langston Hughes. Yeah. Langston was right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I was remembering Gabby Douglas, but whatever.
We're learning on the pod. Yeah.
We are. So then we see like Scotty and Bo are friends. We can tell that. And then I just wrote whiskey guy douche in all caps.
Yeah. Whiskey guy.
We learn where he comes from, so it all kind of makes sense.
He says he's giving three words, and he says man of taste. Somebody else is boring white guy. He says beautiful mouthfeel.
I can't. Beautiful mouthfeel.
You folks have three words to describe yourselves?
Never heard of that. Oh, that's not my words. I was talking about beautiful mouthfeel.
Yeah, beautiful mouthfeel.
I don't like it. I will say about beautiful.
I don't like.
Those are not my words.
Don't like.
Don't like it.
My words? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Let us know in the Discord.
Mustache is one word, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's one of the three.
Wait, mustache, ampersand, laugh. Those are my three words.
Oh.
An nice. Ampersand? Is you're wasting a word on an ampersand?
I don't know. I was trying to keep the bit going with the ampersand shirt. Like, it's
I got it. Yeah.
Grace, what are your three words?
Oh, live, laugh, love.
Stop it. I will kick you off this podcast.
I do have a live, laugh, love sign in my house. It actually says live well, laugh often, love much.
So your words should be well, often, much.
Yeah, well, often. Yeah. Oh, you got it for me.
I didn't. Okay. I was going to say, we love Nora, so that's fine.
RIP Nora.
That's all right. Got me on.
So the last video we're watching, it's Raph's video, and we zoom out, and Gretchen is watching it, and she is admiring the control groups. That the boys only lasted 34 days, the women lasted 50. The boys were the perfect failures that they needed. I think this proof concept that you were right, Jess, in your preview of the season, that the boys are there to be the control group to show how poorly an all-boys society would
look
function.
At me with my theories going strong.
Yeah. So the two, I guess I'll put the like detectives in quotation marks. I don't think they're detectives. They're going to start processing the boys now. And Gretchen sort of like comes to vote, like asking for one last push for both of them. Once they find out how the boys imploded, then they can wear the crown. Start with Raph, wants to know how he fell. Yes.
Fell in love?
I feel like it could be like a metaphorical fall, like a fall from grace.
Ah, what? Grace. Me? Grace, what do you think about that?
I pushed. I wouldn't push Raph.
Did you push Raph?
We'll get into it, but Ariel, I do think like some love sparks. I do kind of feel, maybe I'm just on the Heartstopper train, but
between him and Seth, because I thought it too. Yeah.
I couldn't decide. And also, I was having a little bit of trouble telling them apart. So I was like, wait. Then I found out he has a girlfriend at the end. I was like, I guess not.
Yeah, Maddie Soul. These are all different people.
The show was pretty dark. I was like, not the content, the lighting of the show was very dark, I found.
It's a little Zack Snyder.
Yeah. So when we meet Raph, he's being interviewed. He's in handcuffs. And they say the cuffs are an abundance of caution measure. It's because of what he did. And they ask him if he can take them through the first day. And so we get a bit of an introduction to the boys. Says he wasn't very good at remembering names, he just knew the basics. I would have loved to start our character and be like, I was so good at remembering everybody's names, and then
that's
like,
how
like,
I felt.
Boom, 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 boom. Gosh,
I was just like, DJ, really, we have to give the crap guy who doesn't remember names introducing us to these people.
If anything, it gives us permission to be how we are being, Jess, especially you and I, just be like,
yeah. So there you go, listeners. It's not our fault. It's the show's fault.
It's Raph's fault.
It's Raph's fault. Specifically, but yes, I would have loved the mnemonic. You're like, oh, you mean Crazy Larry and Bojangles or whatever?
Crazy Larry.
Bojack Horseman.
Bojangles. There's a person named Bojangles on the island. Oh my God, there's a Bo.
There's a
My gosh, short for Bojangles.
Bojangles.
I did that on purpose and not by accident.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say they're the two best friends from Florida, which are Scotty and Bo.
Yeah.
And then he knows Josh from school. The smart ones with the fancy clothes. That is obviously the one with the ampersand shirt.
Ivan.
Ivan, of course, totally knew that. The Lax Bro, which is douchey Kieran, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Emo kid with glasses.
Henry.
Henry. And his stepbrother is Seth, who's like soup's nice, curly hair, cute, like metal frame glasses.
Yeah.
And then tracksuit kid who hated his mom, and that's DJ.
DJ.
AKA Devin.
Yeah. So yeah, and we cut right to DJ, who hated his mom, like pretend, like sort of imagining yelling at his mom, calls his mom a dictit and kicks the rock.
I can't. I lost my mind. I lost my mind at this, Ariel. I lost my mind.
Okay. So now going back, you know, not to like skip too far ahead, but like knowing what we know from the end of the episode, this could still be like real. Like his emotion here is real, even though he knew where he was going to end up. Clearly she, you know, I guess in the, we know how crazy she is about her experiment or how intentional she is. She wouldn't have given him all the deets. She would have been like, you're going to end up on an island, but I'm not going to tell you how and why. Mm-hmm. He's mad at her.
Yeah, he's very mad. I mean, we'll see at the end of the episode. He's like, why did you make me do that? That was bad. But last season we learned that he killed some. I think I just figured something out. He did kill somebody in a hazing prank. He killed Nora's boyfriend. So I mean,
that's why I was thinking that the body isn't necessarily a human live
person.
But I felt
Nora's boyfriend.
Like,
they rescued the body of Nora's boyfriend and they reused it. That's sick.
Oh, that's so sick. Messed up. Sorry. but no, I think that. Okay, the way I viewed this was like he probably kicked the rock, but he didn't kick it like that hard. And so that was like his excuse for going back on his own later like he pretended to like break his toe. What kind of moron kicks the rock? I'm so sorry. It's like, what are you doing?
What do people, you know, punch things when they're mad? You know,
why would you do that?
It's not like,
I don't. I will just say you didn't see. I mean, I guess we did see. It doesn't matter. We don't have to gender it. But like the kicking rocks thing, it's not his best moment. I'll say.
Come on, DJ, bottle your feelings up like everybody else. You know, bottle them up until they explode, and then you start crying.
Yeah, be like Leah. Be more like Leah, where you just like unstable.
Well, no, he could be like. Oh gosh, I'm already forgetting his name. I'm so sorry, Josh. Be like Josh and just express your emotions. Like, he cried. You know, like it's all good.
Yeah, Kieran's such a jerk. He's like, why are you crying? And Seth's like, I think it's okay if everybody just expresses their emotions exactly how they would.
And this is why we love Seth.
We're in a plane crash. You know, I think it's fine. It's normal behavior. And Kieran's like, no, we got to start looking for stuff. You know, there's no unexplored islands left in the whole world. There's got to be stuff on this island. Like, we got to go. And and so Kieran makes everybody get up and splits the group. And Andrew's like, why am I listening to him? Like, why did I get up?
It's like a tractor beam. It's just like, keep listening.
So we split up into these two groups. They're going to head off in different directions. If they find anything, send someone back. Seth is calling Kieran a triple dig, which someone with a triple digit SAT score, as we've explained. But thinks that, you know, maybe he's right and they could start looking.
Yes. And then we're back to the girls group with, we start off
thank
with like
God.
Tony and Shelby. This is like a week later we've shifted to Nora being gone. And so they're just like chatting and being all like lovey. And they talk about how like difficult it is without Nora. And like they feel, Shelby feels like guilty, like for being happy with Tony. And this is when Tony asks if Shelby has asked God, like if she's talked to God. And we find out from Shelby that she hasn't been praying a lot lately, which is interesting.
Moving away from her faith, so she's hanging out with Tony. I like this scene a lot. It like tells us a lot about their little relationship. All of the Shelby stuff about like, there's like such a heaviness without Nora, but then like she feels like light and she's like floating. Like, I mean, we've been watching a lot of Heartstopper. You watch Heartstopper as well, Jess. You know, budding romance. It's so cute.
Tony is thriving. Speaking of the budding romance, Tony's like killing it. She's like weed whacking, whatever you do in the jungle. She's just like gathering things. She's never been like more I don't want to use the word stable because I feel like that is a negative connotation, but she's never been like more like even keeled seemingly than, you know, before she got in this like relationship.
Tony would have kicked the rock before. Not anymore.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. She threw her pee at someone, lest we forget.
That's true. I did try to forget actually, and I would like it.
I had very successfully forgotten.
Never. Yeah. And then she does like the, like, there's a like schmoopy, like, she's just like, oh, she's like, you know what? It's just, you're so beautiful. And then they just like
this will never not piss me off. Yeah. To tell, like, a pageant girl that you're so beautiful.
Unless we forget that Shelby cut off like half her hair, and her hair is extremely uneven right now. But they just, they're making out. They're just having a
great
time.
Tony doesn't care because Tony only sees what's on the inside.
So they do some making out. And then we get back to Fatten, who provides so much glorious comedic relief, where her and Dot are like moving this big log, and Fatten is just like, why am I not getting stronger? I feel like I should be super buff by now.
Slipping stuff. I thought I was happy to see everyone, but when I saw Fatten and Dot, I was like, yes, my queens! Like, my two, especially Fatten, but both of them together just make each other better.
Yeah, all she does is lift shit.
Yeah, she's just like, maybe it'll, and I think Dot is the one who says, maybe it'll hit you all at once and you'll just like bulge out of all your clothes.
Yeah, Hulk out. Yeah, Hulk out.
Yeah, so they're meeting SOS sign. Yeah. And like, yeah, I can't move inland without any signs of life, so we should leave this and we'll have a
Do y'all know what SOS means?
Just gonna... Absolutely not. Send.
Save our souls, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I believe.
I was close.
Yeah, Nora.
Send our sons, the boys,
or save our ship.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's like souls, shorthand
or whatever.
Yeah, it's like it's that thing of like, what does anything mean anymore?
Right. Yeah. So like Nora would have known, and it's where Dottie says, "Yeah, that reminds me, I have to go check in on Rachel. It's time for a new rap." It's like I initially was like, I was like, "Ooh, I'll make a joke about beatboxing." on the podcast, and the guy's like, what if I like started beatboxing? Only I wouldn't do that. No Patch Adams bullshit. Whoa. Patch Adams slander on the pod or on the show.
This show is targeting me. In the past, I have discussed, I believe on a podcast, like I believe this has come up on a podcast, that like for whatever reason, I don't have any excuses for myself. I like love magic and beatboxing. Those two things. Oh. I find them like very attractive. Wow. Like
together?
Something about them. Just together? In general. No, just in general. Doesn't have to happen at the same time. And like they brought up magic and beatboxing in the premiere of this episode.
I didn't know Will was a beatboxing.
Oh, definitely is not. And he thinks it's so weird.
Yeah, I can understand the like the beatboxing thing only because so often it's terrible, and if someone can actually do it well, then true. It's like wow, like that's just, you just like jumped, it's like several levels.
I wish
part of the top 1% of beatboxing people.
I wish Dot had beatboxed here. That would have been fun.
Me too. But no, she's like, no Patch Adams BS. So that also means being straight with Rachel 7 days out, and there should not be this much swelling on her arm. So not great.
We think this is how they end up getting brought in, is like, because we see Rachel's, it's not like Rachel's amputation goes up like further in the future. We don't, you know what I mean? So I assume they get help for it. If it's swelling, that's definitely not a good sign.
Well, they're on day 30 and we know that they last 50 days. So we have 20 more days of them being out there. That's a lot. 7 days out
is an American. This is an American Survivor. This is Australian Survivor.
That's right. The boys are on American Survivor.
Right. The boys are like the quarantine, like the new season, the new era. Yeah, last like 20, closer to 26 days.
Yeah. So Dottie's saying being on the beach isn't helping, all the sand. Hate sand. We gotta move back into the jungle. That's my Star Wars reference.
I hate sand.
And she's like, we should move your stuff. We should move her stuff too. And this is where the first time Rachel speaks is like, no, it has to stay in case she comes back. So, I mean, not a bad theory, Jet, that this is like foreshadowing the return of Nora, but yeah.
Like she like comes up and like, she's a shark now. Like Nora is the shark.
Yeah, she got bit. She's a were shark.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You bit.
You bit.
Yeah. And I mean, I get it, right? Like she's having a hard time. She's a week out from her twins' maybe question mark death. And also I think like the guilt, right? The guilt is with her at all times. And we'll see it later that like she wouldn't have died if I wasn't being attacked by a shark.
Can I, speaking of twins, because I always felt like, yeah, Norm, Rachel, they're twins. They don't really look, you know, but the, you know, they are fraternal twins.
Yeah.
I learned recently that Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen are not, they're okay. not identical twins.
I'm upset that you grew up in the 90s and did not know that.
They look identical, though.
They do not. You could easily tell them apart.
No, any Mary-Kate now that and they're, Ashley... wait, hold on. Now that they're an adult. Yes.
No, they do not look... I could tell them apart as children too. You could show me a photo and I could point to one and say, that's Mary-Kate. That's Ashley.
Only because one of them was sporty and one of them.
No,
is there a third option? No. Like, there's fraternal twins, there's identical twins, and then there's like
similar twins. There actually is some where like it depends on how like the egg is for whatever. There is a way
science.
Yes. So yes.
We need a doctor. Science. We
need. I'm telling you though. Anybody tweet at me, test me, send me a picture, and I will tell you which is which. I know. I grew up on MKA.
I'm ashamed to say that. I thought the same up until just now.
Was nobody born in the 90s? What is happening?
Yeah, they never appeared together at that back then.
Oh, you know, have when you, I was a excuse kid. Me? They have like millions of movies together.
I only saw It Takes Two, which is a favorite of mine.
Gosh.
Hey, you're not. I think I did not watch as much Mary-Kate Ashley as I wanted to because people would have thought I.
It's right, like, it's true. Be careful.
Not pretty, not very manly to be what you know. It's a little, right. Boy,
which
yeah.
is dumb, but totally, totally relatable.
Yeah, fair, but still, I'm upset.
Well, Martha chops the head off a bird,
and like
a live bird.
It's wild to me that we could get from her like having a mental, like having a really big issue killing a goat. To like a single week later being like, this bird isn't even dead. Chop.
Okay. And I don't want to say that we needed more blood in this episode because that is absolutely not my stance. But did this seem like some kind of like dry, desiccated bird? Like she chopped the head off and nothing happened? Like I just.
It was alive. It was weird. What do you mean?
It was alive. Yeah.
Okay. The bird moved its head and she was like, bah!
Okay, probably, cool. I feel like Martha gets a little bit of the short end of the stick here in terms of like we have to have a bunch of the boys' content and her story. I feel like it comes up so late in season one, but then it kind of there's some stuff here. There's this, and then her interactions with Tony. But there's not a ton here for Martha in this episode. I feel like she's sort of gets the least out of everybody. Fatten certainly is probably like the next in terms of like, she's very entertaining when she's on screen, but my similar complaint to season one is that like, there's probably not enough like Fatten focused story here yet in season two. So those are the two people that I think sort of as a result of cramming in basically like eight new characters, we don't get a ton from either of those two, which is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, it's interesting because Fatten definitely functions as like a mirror of sorts. Bring back the mirror talk from After Party. Like telling people, like revealing things to people about themselves or like kind of questioning people, kind of like having people rethink things. So at least she has a function, whereas, you know, who's the other person we were just talking about? Oh my God. Head chopper. No.
Marty.
Martha. Thank you. Her only storyline is like to be maybe jealous. Like we still don't have the fallout of like how she's going to react to this relationship. It feels, especially short thrift.
I feel like we get the answer that she's like not jealous at all.
Right. Which makes it even more ridiculous that like, it seems like just a waste of the few minutes that we did get with her.
Yeah. So we jump into this. So Fatten found a Nora Roberts book in the bottom of Martha's bag. This is much better than Jeff's book. We got a real beach read on our hands, which I love. Asked if there's like, Martha's asking like, do you notice any like different vibes on the beach? Like, shiny, like happy vibes between two people. And she's like, you mean Shawnee? He's like, did you catch some boning in the woods? Like,
yeah, she's like, I can sense when people, I could like smell when people are boning. I must have a sinus problem.
She's like, yeah, that's weird that I didn't smell it.
This is so funny. Like, again, even though Fatten didn't get a ton of airtime, like, I feel like the airtime she did get was like 10 out of 10 for me.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely. Just as when Leah drops off a bunch of wood for the signal fire, but it's not very much wood. Everyone's like, I thought you'd just get like more of it.
Yeah.
And Leah reveals that she's been looking for the pit. Fenton tells her it's a mirage.
This felt very Survivor to me, where it's like, oh, you were going to get
for
fired.
An idol?
Are you looking for an
idol? Yeah, yes. I mean, she is. Yeah. She's basically looking for an idol. Yeah.
True. Yeah. And this is where we get the first like hint that people don't believe her about the pit, because Fatten's just like, it was a mirage. Like, you know what I mean? Don't worry about it. So I was like, oh, wow. Like, people actually don't believe Leah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. It seems like, you know, like we talked about, you know, the end of last season, kind of that whole situation being put on hold because of the shark attack. Like, there was about to be like this big thing that happened. And then here, like, my point is, like, I think Fatten would have been more amenable to it. But in light of everything, it kind of seems now way less important than it might have before the shark attack.
Agreed. And there's no proof of it, right? Like, she brought her back to the pit and was like, there's no pit. So
my proof is that look in Leah's eyes, like, That's all the proof I need.
Well, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll collect some firewood. Everyone, bring back enough. Don't be looking for pits, okay? And then we'll be right back. All right, back to the boys. We focus in on Rath's group, goes looking. And we see Ivan looking at a dollar bill, and where it normally would say, like, this is like legal tender, it's been crossed out, and it says B tender. I assume this is like advice someone has given him, like, be kind to yourself.
Oh, I thought it said beat. The letter is BR. Did I like not read that correctly?
I pretender. You've never heard pretender?
Oh, a pretender.
No, I caught
is a pretender.
No, I caught B tender also, but I didn't understand what it meant.
Pretender, I think, makes the most, but B tender. That's my best guess, is like somebody being like, be nice to yourself, you know, be kind,
but
I don't know. And then it just never comes up.
No more. Yeah. Like, I get, like, well, you know, they want you to binge it, but
I think we're going to find out. Okay. Wait, is Ivan the one who has a boyfriend that we see?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm wondering if there's like, that's a connection to his boyfriend or something like that. And we'll just find out more.
It's their thing. They share messages on dollar
you're
bills.
Like, legally not supposed to write on dollar bills, but like, honestly, who cares? But
and
yeah,
yet here we are.
Josh asked him if he's scared, and he says, you know, it sort of comes in waves. The insanity of it all makes him seasick. And Josh is like, I have meds for that. And he's like, no, it's kind of like a spiritual seasick. It's so cute. Stupid. Mother Nature is not his muse. Josh thinks DJ's toe is broken. Seth says his empathy well for DJ is bone dry, and they introduce themselves. They have not done that yet. No.
That's sweet. I love to see some like emotionally healthy male bonding. We love to see it.
Yes, especially because Josh is me, where it's like, oh, like, I have ibuprofen, I have Dramamine, I have Tums. Like, do you need any of those things? Uh-huh. Sounds like I have it all in my purse, all ready to go. Mm-hmm. And yeah, between like Seth, okay, because Roth makes a big deal in his interview with those two guys. That people always call him like Raphael, or they call him Rafe, or they call, you know, they always mess up his name. And I think it's like very important to note that when Seth asks for his name, he's like, oh yeah, people call you like Raph, right? And he's like, oh, I've heard it all, I don't care. And he's like, no, I'll call you Raph. Like, Seth makes a point to get Raph's name right. And again, I'm shipping it already. I know they both have girlfriends, but I don't care. I ship it
actually. Actually, this makes me knowing that Raph like later will be like, yeah, we just like turned out to be bad. Maybe bad news for Seth. Maybe that like something makes those two disagree, and they're on different sides. And Raph
is he like the Simon in Lord of the Flies, like where he's like the sweet one and he dies.
Yeah,
he's like, you were my number one. We were gonna go to the end, and now he's like, I don't trust you anymore.
Oh,
that's
I'm
my big fear
right
so
now.
Far. Yeah, so DJ is making fun of Kieran, and Seth is so happy. He's like, you used triple dig. You used it.
You used my dig.
Used it.
Yeah.
And Josh has meds for him, and Seth says, well, you don't have to do this. Why don't you head back to the beach?
Are you an ibuprofen or an acetaminophen kind of person?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
And
I
he's
have
like,
both.
Because he has no idea.
He doesn't know what the difference is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back to the girls. Fenton doesn't like trees, doesn't want to move away from the beach, get out of the sun.
Specifically, yeah. She says they're old.
They're old.
So that's why she doesn't like trees, which I love Fenton. Fenton, you got to get on my page, girl. Trees are great. Like, trees, they provide great oxygen for you. They're beautiful. We got to get on the same page about this.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, she doesn't want to move away from where they lost her. And Shelby says it will be good for all of them. And Tony says, like, to Martha, like, hey, I, like, you know, I have a little spot for you. I made a little bed. And Martha's acting pretty weird. And Tony's like, we've bunked together for years and haven't killed each other yet. Like, we should keep bunking together. And Martha's like, nah, I think I want to bunk alone, but you can give away my spot. Maybe to, like, Shelby.
Marty is not subtle at all. Girl, she's just like, oh, I'm a hot sleeper. You know, I don't want to spot you out. Give away my spot, though. Shelby specifically. Girl.
Wink, wink.
And I just love, even before she says that, they're asking, like, do you want to see when she's basically like the physical manifestation of this. I'm gonna try to make like the sound where it's like, yeah. So funny. And then she's like, maybe your new girlfriend that I know you're sleeping with. Like, she might as well.
Yeah.
So funny.
But then Tony's like, you know? And it's like, yeah, it's okay.
And she smiles and she's like so happy for them. And so I feel like at this point, like, I mean, Fenton knows, Marty knows. And it seems like later they must have just gotten out with it because they're kind of like laying next to each other, like all cutesy cutesy.
Listen, after all this, really, that's the thing. And obviously, you know, Tony was trying to be, you know, sensitive, you know, but
to Shelby, yeah.
Yeah, to Shelby, which is commendable. But, you know, it's like, people died. We're in the freaking world. Like, who cares?
People died. People's arms got chewed off. Let's just come on. Yeah.
Fenton's looking for the axe. Like, it was in the pile of stuff that Leah was supposed to bring. Uh-oh. She's been back for hours.
Leah did a Sandra and she just like threw the axe into the woods.
Yeah. She doesn't know when to effing quit. And we see Leah once again looking for the pit in the jungle.
Yeah.
Come on.
Leah has become the pit. Oh my God, it's a metaphor. Like, the pit is gone, but the now
Leah is the pit.
One of the pits.
Yeah, this is the pit. No.
So the other boy, the other group of boys, the Raph and Josh.
Led by Douchey Kieran.
Led by Douchey Kieran. And Henry is like doing this thing where he like can hold his hands up and figure out like how long it is until sunset. It's like, you a Boy Scout? He's like, yeah, until I like, you know, needed a change of look. Henry calls him Damien. I love.
Yeah, yeah, like, let's confuse us more, please, by throwing out random names that aren't assigned to anyone. Mm-hmm.
Henry,
which one of you is Bojangles?
Bo.
That's right.
Henry's writing, I think, is actually like pretty wild in this episode. There's another thing he says later, which we'll get to. But yeah, like, kind of purpose, like, it's very clever if you can catch it, but also like when you're watching it, like a bit, I'm like, maybe too quick. They're talking about they don't want to run into a recluse; they're gonna get killed. And then Scotty's like, "Hey, as a future billionaires, we do actually have some good guys."
Yeah, Mr. Peanut is on the list.
Is he rich and does have a monocle? That's a great question.
He says Mr. Peanut is an effing gentleman. but yeah, I think that Henry gives me big season one Nora vibes in terms of like him just being very knowledgeable about their surroundings, which both makes me suspicious and also the complete opposite of suspicious, because I'm like, well, they're not going to do it again. So Henry's in the clear.
Interesting. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he has some survival skills. Mm-hmm. And he did Boy Scouts. Yeah.
Yeah.
This scene is all weird. Kieran goes to take to go pee, and Henry pees right beside him. And then
you have an entire beach.
I think they're commenting that like Kieran looked and Henry has like what is known as like a Prince Albert, essentially, I think is what's happening in this scene.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't understand. I don't understand this.
He's saying like it must have bruised at some point, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like he's looking down at it. Mm-hmm. He's talking about
I thought Kieran asked, does it hurt when you pee? And yes, Henry
because
says,
he has a thing. I assume.
Oh,
he must have bruised at some point.
Salt water.
Yeah, the salt water penis situation I thought was a commentary on like Kieran's is sore when he pees because of salt water dick.
No, because then he's like, they're talking about salt water dick isn't real.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're alluding to Henry is like an evil, you know, he has like piercings and whatever. And so he got another.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. Can I ask though?
I wouldn't be surprised. And I, please just ask your question.
Yes, ask your question.
I have a question. Okay. If I, Kieran is a douche. I will say it a million times. Kieran sucks. Mm-hmm. However, I don't have like a urinal experience, right? Like I'm a stall gal. And so I don't in my opinion, isn't there like a code of conduct where like if you go to a urinal and there's someone standing at one, you at least put one between you and the other person?
I do think this is like we might choose to live here. And if we could centralize where it all goes, then we're not ruining everything.
Like in the same area. But it did seem like there were like two different sets. But I agree with you, Grace. That would make sense. Like that's just like not start like doing it everywhere, like in our blankets. Like it's not a good idea. But there's that dumb like
right next to him.
There's that like it did strike me as odd, like somewhat sweet, right? Because there is that thing of like, oh no bro, like stay away from me, I can't like pee next to you, you know, because I don't want you to like whatever look at my stuff. But you know,
I mean,
like,
I just viewed it as
cares?
Like I don't need to like pee right next to someone, you know, like that's my private
time.
Yeah,
no, of course. It's up to you to decide what you are not comfortable with.
But I guess it's all fine because Bo and Scotty do the same exact thing. Like they're standing right next to each other.
This
but
one
Bo
is so much worse. Bo, figure it out, Bo. I gotta say, you don't need to drive, Bo.
He says he needs.
Why need to receive? What are you doing?
I will
Bo?
Say I did. I this would not happen to me. I would be is doing it alone. I do not need a receipt. I do not.
Isn't
need
it a shake it thing? Like I get like is you just like a little jiggle and you're done.
Saying.
Listen, this is the least of your problems right now. Like, what are you worried? Are you worried that your clothes are gonna smell? Because like that is literally the least of your problems.
Yeah, I don't think that like a drip is gonna make you smell. You know,
I would like to jump back half. I will imagine that by like we have 8 episodes this season, right? We're 2 episodes shorter than season.
Yeah,
I think that like by around episode 5, we're gonna be on a pod and just be like, you know, I think I'm coming around on Kieran. You know, I think you know. I bet this show. I swear, this show is going to do. We're like.
Are we going to hate Seth and love Kieran?
What's no, my boy. What's, no, my, I, what's Julia's not... name again? What's Julia's boyfriend's name again?
Seth.
I'm worried for Seth now.
This show has not, even the people who were bad, in quotation, were Confederates, were not hated. I feel like the show actually doesn't really, like so Gretchen has been the person like tormenting them all is the one who's been bad, right? Yeah, yeah. Everybody else, they found a way to make them somewhat redeemable. Shelby probably being the worst, like again in quotes, like
offender,
the meanest person in the group ends up being like fairly, you know, somewhat relatable by the end.
Yeah. I mean, I will say in general, that's one of my favorite things a show can do when it does it successfully is to like make you like a person that you do not at all foresee liking or think that you could like. And obviously in this situation on this show, it's a lot easier because they're going through such a like crazy, insane thing.
If you listen to a Russian Doll cover, Marissa Masovic says, you know what? I think I've come around on Mike.
This is a lie. This is a lie.
No, she messes me.
No.
Marissa.
There's a secret pod. There's a secret episode 20 of season 2 pod where Marissa's like, you know,
I just think I'm not gonna, I don't know, Kieran, like I'm not gonna forget all the nonsense he said, how much of a douche bro he is. I won't forget you, Kieran.
Never forget.
Douche.
We'll see. I'm just planting my flag that by episode 5, we're gonna be like, Kieran, huh? Interesting.
It's this kind of show. It's so this show to do that. So I wouldn't be surprised.
But we do have Scotty hoarding food, keeping it hush hush. She finds a granola bar, but Scotty is the big bad because he's just like, listen, I have this granola ball. Maybe you should hang on to it, Bo. That way, when people find it on you, they get mad at you.
Oh my god,
pretty ruthless, huh?
Yeah, because they're in an alliance, but like he clearly doesn't trust him.
Yeah, it's the granola bar. Did anybody watch Survivor the Amazon?
He's his meat shield, you know? That was beef jerky. No, the Amazon. Oh, yeah.
Africa was the, right? No.
No,
oh, Outback. Outback.
Amazon.
Outback was the jerky. Beef jerky. Sorry. I was just trying to follow all the different seasons.
Yeah.
Africa was the can of beans.
Oh my god, not the beans.
The beans.
Hi, T-Bird.
And the cherries, I think. Yeah. Okay, so back to the women. So Rachel is like sitting on the beach, minding her own business in her grief. Leah comes up, and immediately I was like, no, Leah, now's not the time.
This is bad. This is bad. This is bad.
Yeah, she sits down, and she starts to move Nora's stuff, but, you know, Rachel's just like, please don't. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, it's, like, automatic. I just want to collect things for the new camp. And we... lies. And she's just like and she's just like, I don't think we should move. Our home isn't out there. And she's like, you know what, I'm stuck on acceptance. Isn't that just giving up? And then oh, the audacity of Leah here. She's just like, I think about Nora every day. Was it her idea to come here? And immediately I was like, no. It's so horrible. And she starts like questioning and pestering a girl who just lost her twin sister less than a week ago.
It's almost like she was like, did you say something? Did you say Nora's name? Oh my God, me too. I was thinking about Nora. It's like, no, yeah. It's laughable. It's laughable.
Yeah. It's so
her effort here.
It's so cringy. She's like, was it her idea to come? And Rachel nods. She's like, oh, how did she hear about it? Can't you remember? And Rachel just
needs to remember. Remember.
Yeah, remember. She's like, oh, Nora wanted it for me. She wanted to keep me safe. She was trying to save me from myself. And then she says, now she's gone and it's all my fault. And Leah just keeps, she's like, you have to remember.
Fadden coming in for the save, being like, come here. What the hell was that? She's hanging by a thread and you try to slice it. Barrier delusions. If you approach Rachel again, I will kill you.
Yeah.
I will effing kill you. First of all, Jess, amazing, amazing freakout scream from Thank Leah. You. It was uncanny, uncannily similar. Second of all, great forearm work from Fadden here to like get her forearm on the
She's
throat.
She's strong now. Leah. All her
That's
muscles
true.
Just broke.
She hulked out. She hulked out.
This is her Hulk out moment. Yes, very good.
Yeah. Love Fadden here. Love like how I feel like we've always gotten the sense that Fadden is like very like a very loyal person. And I feel like it is showing here where she's just like, don't mess with Rachel right now. You need to get out of your own head, like figure your own stuff out, but do not bring Rachel into your delusions. Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing I was just thinking with Leah having sort of this panic, Leah is the first person, she gets the first singular episode last year. She's in the Raph spot, which is interesting in terms of Raph being the one who's in handcuffs and what we know will happen at the very end of the episode between Raph and Leah, that I think they're, you know, be interesting to follow the parallel between those two people in terms of somebody who we meet at first who does have big, like, I think main character energy, but I would not call Leah our main character. She's like the most onto something that's happening and is right, and everybody else is being like, stop, like you are losing your mind. So I'm interested to see sort of the path that Raph ends up going down, because he's our central point in with the boys, as we'll see. He starts to chat and he's like, yeah, some realities are too hard to let in. They're too scary, too ugly, too big. And no one wanted to admit how terrified they were when they first got there. This is where they're all walking back. And they see DJ lying on the ground. They go over. It looks like his like leg had been chewed up. His face is totally like just gone. And
I'm like, oh, that's weird. Before they turn him over, I'm like, oh, that's weird.
The difference between, so I'm just looking at my own, like, I wrote very basic notes, and Grace was the one who kind of did our main notes for this, and Grace is like talking about, oh, you know, his leg is chewed up, his face is chewed up. My notes in all caps is, his entire face is mangled to F, WTF.
Listen, I've been covering Shining Girls, which is like, this is polite compared to Shining Girls score at the moment. So,
it's so nasty.
Yeah. So they figured that he slipped on a rock and then got swept out. Raph says it haunts him. And then the group is talking about like they need to move him. Every carnivore on the island will come for him, and then they'll come for the rest of them.
Yeah. Henry is the one who says this again. Very Nora-esque.
Ooh, true. Very Confederate, perhaps.
Bo suggests a Navy funeral, speaking of the military. And they're like, yeah, we can weigh him down. And so, Ariel saluted, ma'am. Seth offers to take him out and asks Raph to help him.
I have a question, though. This whole Navy funeral, where they say they want to weigh him down and keep him close, are they like saying, let's weigh him down, put him in the water, that way if we need to retrieve his body, we can? Keep him close. Like they're going to keep him close to the shore, but just wade down under the water.
I thought it was keep him close, like keep him in clothes. Like clothes. No, I don't think that's right.
Yeah. But yeah, I did note here that Seth feels like big leader vibes. Like he's like what? The Dottie.
My last name is Leader, Jess.
That was his fall from grace.
Yes.
Grace, why do you have such a punnable name? It's kind of perfect for you.
Yeah. Seth's very much in charge. And then this line is where I was like, ooh, interesting. Where I was like, yeah, he picked me to walk into the dark with him, and I liked it.
Romantically linked.
Tell me more.
Turn
the light on and tell us more about this moment.
I was like very much in my feels here, like, oh girl, they're gonna get it.
Well, there's two interpretations of it. I think that they're, for one, I was initially like, oh yep, they're like gonna, yeah, they're flirty. And then the other read is like, knowing that Raph was in handcuffs, that like it's this like thing of like, do Seth and Raph end up like disagree? Like, is there a way in like Seth is sort of the leader and pull, you know, like that he's a little bit more sinister than we like thought that he might be.
Oh, no.
At first that he starts like sort of trying to be a leader that pulls Raph in with him. And whether that's where their disagreements start and Raph feels like he has to do something to stop Seth was like where I sort of went with my thought here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He pulled me into the dark. I liked it. But obviously,
I liked it because of what I did later on, because I was feeling myself in the darkness. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like Raph is going to do something that he regrets later. Mm-hmm. And it involves Seth in some way.
Is there any way where like Raph is the one that pulls Nora down? Like it's not a shark. It's just like Raph with like a fin. No. Okay. I'm working on this theory. Never mind. I'll figure it out.
Rachel's lying on the beach. We get a very nice scene, I thought, here between Dot. This is some of my favorite Dot stuff, I think, even over the course of two seasons.
Yeah.
Is she's like, you know, it's warmer at the new camp. There's a nice atmosphere too, but she's not trying to evict her. If she
it's nice is because Marty saged it.
Oh, right. Right, right.
Love a good saging session.
Sage.
I feel like she might have had that in her bag. I feel like that would make sense that she would have sage for like her own. Yeah.
Can you eat sage?
She sages her bag. She keeps sage in her bag so that no bad will come to the bag. Like it's actually to protect the bag. I can see that.
Yeah, or she'd use it because she's indigenous, right? So she would have it for like her own. For like,
right, that's true. For reasons that I'm not aware of. Can you what? Sorry, can you eat it? I believe so. I don't think it's.
I wonder if it's a good spice for like, because like, what is it?
Uses flavoring for fatty meat, sausages, beans, and vegetables.
Yeah. Okay. Because Fatten was talking about how they're like basically paleo, and so you know, you just throw some sage
Fatten.
On.
Fatten, beginning of her name, Fat. It's used. Sage is used on fatty things. Just saying.
Fatten things. Yeah, it's going to become yellow jackets.
We have solved the theories. Ariel did it.
Yeah,
I'm trying. I was really reaching this episode, so I'm glad I got one right.
You did it.
So this is just, so she's like, you know, if you need to stay, you can stay. The counselor gave Dot a pamphlet about the five stages of grief. She used it to move a spider out of the house and then threw it in the garbage. There's no way there's only five stages of grief. Every new second feels like a brand new circle of hell. However many seconds in your lifetime they are, that's how many stages there are. A billion little bullshit stages. Not going to rush her.
I love this.
Not up to her how much time she needs. Hope she's cool with the company, though.
Yeah, I think this is perfect for Dot to be the one to have this conversation with Rachel, considering the loss that she's experienced with her father, and how, like, you know, everyone talks about the five stages of grief, but like I really like the way Dot puts this, where it's just like it never ends, right? Like every second they're gone, that's a whole new stage you're in. And I do like that she's not trying to cheer Rachel up. She's just like, oh, I hope you're cool with like me staying here with you. There's no way you're being out here alone, so I'm gonna just hang out. We're gonna hang out together.
The best analogy I've ever seen for grief is, have you heard of the ball in the box analogy?
No.
I've heard of that.
So if you imagine you have a box that's sort of, you know, whatever, and inside of the box there's a button that sort of like triggers your moments of grief and your feelings, that the ball at sometimes can be gigantic. It's like pushing up against the button in the box. Sometimes it's very small and it's like moving around, and every so often it just like hits the button to be like, you know, oh, like I, you know, oh, I'm like driving past the ice cream shop that like, you know, me and my like grandpa used to like have ice cream at, like, oh, that's like a little, you know, the ball bounced up against the grief. And so the ball can be small or big in the box, but you never don't have the ball in the box.
Right.
So
the thought is like, ideally over time, the ball like gets shrinks. Smaller and maintains at a smaller size, I guess.
That makes sense.
But to your point, Jess, like, I love, like, we have heard this kind of thing so many times, and to get a moment here where it actually feels like a new take on it, and like, it's a really strong moment from Dot, and it's like a really beautiful sentiment, and obviously we understand why, because of everything with her dad, and it just like really grounds you in their like motivations again.
Yeah, definitely. Like, the only thing, I mean, I've heard like, you know, grief is love persevering, which I think is just like a great way to put it as well, especially because the closer you are to like the closer you are in time to having lost somebody, it feels like obviously this is a very fresh wound for Rachel. And on top of the fact that she's been traumatized enough as it is for 30 days and then to go through this, you know, Dot feels like the person who makes logical sense that would be the one having this conversation. And what happens next honestly killed me. where she's like, oh, do you have any good games? And I was like, yes, Dot, like, I am here for you. Let's play 20 questions. but Rachel is just like, oh, Miss Mary Mack. And Dot doesn't really know what that is. And so she starts like the solemn, somewhat like creepy, kind of reciting of Miss Mary Mack. Anybody who grew up, I feel like at any time, knows Miss Mary Mack. It's like a hand game, you clap. And I immediately was like, oh no, Rachel just lost a hand. Like, how is she gonna play Miss Mary Mack? And that was like,
oh my god, I didn't even think of that.
That's the whole joke. That's why Rachel said
right. Yeah, we can't.
She's just like, oh, I'm like poking fun at myself.
Yeah, I really wanted to play with them because it was one of those things that like you weren't supposed to do as a boy, you know, quote unquote. And like society, yeah, to Grace's point earlier, it's like you can't have too much fun doing it. You can like enjoy it, but whatever, stupid.
You can play it as a joke,
right? You can play it as a joke, right? To like separate,
to make fun of yourself, exactly. Yeah,
But this is like this season's Pink song, right? Where you get like a very solemn,
yes,
like,
what is the pink, what pink song?
What's the dealio?
Yes, we got
there
it.
Is a mention of a different Pink song really? Later in this episode, and I can't wait to talk about him.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, Rachel says, you know, she's not moving on, there's no leveling out this feeling. And she says, like, Dot, you don't have to do this. Like, I actually don't want you to, like, watch over me. That was Nora's gig, and I'm not ready to fill a position yet. But they both get up, and they head back to the other camp.
Yeah. I was really happy that Rachel was open to moving at this moment, because I was like, oh, I don't want her to, like, be out there by herself, like they said, and be alone in her grief. So I was happy to see her kind of concede at this point to moving inland.
Yeah. And so they're back at the new camp, and I was like, something about this, like, it's like an upgrade, but it feels off, right? And Shelby says, no, it's just different, but Martha knows what it is. They were missing our old friend Marcus.
And she immediately drops him in the fire.
She did drop him in the fire.
I was like, yikes. Not Marcus.
He's hot.
Listen, Marcus is looking better and better. He's been lifting all those tree trunks, and like he's getting as jacked as fat.
He hulked out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we get like flashes. Leah's not there, and Leah is taking many pills in the jungle. So I presume this is the episode starts with a disclaimer. Our podcast had a content warning up at top, that the idea of suicide, presumably this is that moment. I thought when I saw what happened to DJ, I thought that was what they were referring to, but I think this is the moment that they gave the disclaimer for, which actually I think a lot of shows would not do that necessarily, for not to be, I feel like it's not super clear that that's what's happening. And so I think a lot of shows would be like, the next episode, when there's like the fallout from it, would be like, content warning, like we did it last episode. Yeah. Like, so I think, good on the show, good on Amazon Prime. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you get like, you know, it feels too late for the warning or like too early, and then they don't do it when you should do it. For them to like give away a potential plot thing here, which sometimes you see as like the reason why they don't do certain things or they don't reveal right. certain things. It's good that they just do it. Cause to your point, Grace, it isn't immediately clear what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This was rough. Like we were talking about this a little bit pre-pod of like we couldn't tell what kind of pills these are. I mean, obviously taking a ton of pills of any type is probably not great. Couldn't tell what type they are, where she really got them. We know, I mean, gosh, it must be tough to be Leah and know the truth of everything, but just having absolutely no one believe you. Mm-hmm. Like the closest person to believing you is probably Fat, and she is screaming at you to just move on and stop at this point. So,
and saying she'll kill you.
all that too. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then we have a cute Seth and Roth moment. Roth has the bracelet and Seth recognizes it as like some type of bracelet that it being hooked indicates you're in a relationship. I've never heard of this. Okay. I've heard of like the Irish rings. Bands.
Oh,
like the Irish rings, like the Colada something or other Irish rings.
Do you remember the like rubber bands and the thing was like, they're all different colors. And if someone broke it on like off of your arm, then it was associated with, a specific act. Did you guys have?
Yes. Where you're like, oh, you gave me a BJ, you get a red ring or red bracelet.
Broke the red, so if the red was like a BJ and someone broke it, then they owed you.
Oh, I didn't know that part of it. Like, I was like, not involved in any of this. So.
I think it was very.
It sounds like, vaguely familiar.
Yeah. There was another thing too where kids used to take, okay, when you're drinking out of a plastic soda bottle and you take the cap off and there's that little plastic blue guy on the inside of the top of the
just
cap.
Just under the cap, yeah.
You would take that out and you would cut it and you would stretch it into a bracelet. Something was there with that where if someone off of your wrist, it meant something. I don't remember what. So, this is a thing.
That's wild. That's the wild season bracelets. 3.
According to the girls wear them and the boys who break them can claim their prize based on the color code. Yellow is a hug, purple is a kiss, blue is a BJ, and black is there are more and get more graphic.
But black is you get eaten by a shark.
Black is black is raised eyebrows.
I'm pretty sure these were around when I was in like the equivalent of middle school. So
yeah, that was definitely a thing.
Pretty wild.
So he has some type of bracelet that indicates that he is taken, and Seth is like, oh, here's the warmer weather stuff. He gives him a sweatshirt, and we find out that Roth's girlfriend's name is Marisol, and that Seth also has a girlfriend named Julia, and this is the moment that we find out that both groups love pink. Because Seth says, you know what, I'm a big fan of the what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller.
That's,
is that not pink?
That's Kelly Clarkson.
Well, you know, I tried.
Aaron and I were both like,
no, and I was like, no,
did
no,
we
no,
say
no,
something?
Did I we... don't know pink as well, so I was like,
famously, I don't know singers, so.
But that's great because I love Kelly Clarkson, and I'm glad I didn't even catch that, even though I. Literally watched the episode.
It also might not be a reference to Kelly Clarkson. I think Kelly Clarkson did not invent the term "what doesn't kill you."
Grace, yes, she did.
Well, she did invent the version that Jess sang, but you're right, Grace. That's not necessarily the only song that has that. But I will say, I wish they had all sang it in a circle.
Not the only hands. Song. Same. I think it was just a say.
Listen. In my brain, it connected so well that I was like, another pink reference.
That,
I didn't even
to that I say, what's the dealio?
What's the dealio?
Yes.
Incredible. I love it. But I love it, Jess. Yeah. I will just say, I love that you're on the lookout. You're our pink horn spot.
Very much am on the lookout for all pink references of all kinds.
Yeah. Raph's telling detectives it wasn't true. He's not stronger. It's like, but you've changed. You were a quiet Catholic kid from Tijuana. Not that you're not that anymore, but you're just different. And he says he hates it. You can't control what you turn it to. Well, he had handcuffs on. So.
Those are some powerful. Whatever Uh-oh. Song that's from, that's a powerful.
He did something real bad. He is now bad to the bone.
That is clearly a reference to that song.
Clearly. To the bone. My eyes are just wide open.
Yeah. He goes on a little bit more of a speech. He says, all of them started out wanting to be things. And then we get like all these like adjectives. Over on Shining Girls, we do noun town, but perhaps we're an adjective bill over here. Yeah.
I need to watch this show so I can understand this reference because it's come up a bunch of times.
It's just because Melissa wrote down all of the words in the intro.
Okay. Yeah.
So she wrote down a bunch of nouns. So then we were in noun town. Okay. Raph says strong, loved, safe, powerful, included, seen, to be with someone, to be like someone. They all wanted to be like that. They wanted to be men. Truth is, some of them were becoming monsters.
So I wrote down some of the montage clips we see, like when he's saying these words. So I think strong was Douche Kieran hugging his dad. Was it safe or was it powerful? Bo was like riding a bike and looked like he had a black eye. Mm-hmm. I think the to be with someone was it Scotty? Scotty is with like a boy in bed. We also
think it's Ivan, I think.
Okay. Cause we also get oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't Scott. Yeah, it was Ivan. Sorry. I told you I get those two mixed up. Mm-hmm. And then there was included, I think was Henry, or he might have been seen. And he was kind of just like looking in on these other guys.
And his mom is, I think, looks at gives him.
Oh, his mom. Yeah, his mom is like not paying attention to him or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jess is like, or whatever. No big deal.
It was so hard to keep track of all of them.
No, not that. It's just that the minimizing the like his mom's not paying attention.
Cares.
Whatever.
But yeah, like the point is that we see all of them in like their at home moments and like maybe get a hint of what they're struggling with. I assume Bo is maybe picked on, that's why he has a black eye. Yeah. Kieran hugging his dad kind of stands out to me because I'm like, oh, maybe he's like sensitive and that's why he's like bro-y on the outside because he, you know, a bit of a douche. Oh, and I do think we see Marisol and Raph together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they seem to share a sweet embrace or a kiss.
Yeah.
Do we think that that Douche Kid also did we get any sense? No, I don't think we did. I went too far down this road of like perhaps he's religious, and then I was like he might have a connection.
I feel like they did that with Shelby. I don't know, like to Shelby.
No. Well, what I was gonna say was like in terms of like keeping the small, like maybe
it wasn't
he knows
Jeff.
Shelby,
I don't think
he
was
knows
it
Shelby's
Jeff?
Dad, right? Jeff, that's what I'm saying. Like he.
Oh,
like,
it could
Shelby's
be
dad is like his pastor. But I mean, I don't know.
Because the only people we know like confirmed, obviously we know Raph is from Tijuana. I don't know if he flew in from Tijuana or if he is like a immigrant.
His arms
who was
are
from,
tired.
Yeah, and we know that Scotty and Bo are from Florida. Those are like the only people confirmed that, at least to my knowledge, that we know exactly where they are coming from. So we could have people who know the girls. That's a good point. I had not thought of that. We could have people that know each
now,
other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Seth had brought some drinks from the drink cart, and Raph's like, I don't drink much. He's like, well, you can just pour one out for TJ.
Why are we pouring anything out? Why are we not saving this for wounds? What are we doing here?
Yeah. Pour out like a little bit. Don't pour the whole thing out. That's basically an entire bottle. Like I know it's
so
a tiny bottle, but it is an entire bottle.
I was so upset by this.
Oh, I thought it was sweet.
The emotional intent of it, yes, is beautiful. But like to Jess's point,
the Dottie in me is screaming.
We can do something with that.
Seth, you're supposed to be smarter than that. Seth, you're the leader. What are you doing? You be the Dottie we want you to be.
He's being such a dickhead.
Well, they do pour it out for DJ. Turns out DJ didn't die, so he doesn't need one poured out for him. He is very much alive.
Yeah,
and it's Gretchen's son. I was like mad that I didn't figure this out. Him talking about how much he hates his mom.
Like, didn't one of us theorize this on the season one recap that we thought maybe Gretchen's son would be involved somehow?
I was like, I think he's in prison.
Maybe. Yeah. And like, we even theorized that like perhaps he's not even real. Like that whole hospital thing had been a setup. So, you know. But to your point, Jess, I do remember. It wasn't me. It would have been one of y'all. But
maybe it was me. Ooh. I mean,
Jess, it was like a backdoor self-compliment. Like,
I know.
Is
it
oh, my
me,
God.
Though?
Was it me?
Oh, you know who did? It was a Pink.
Her?
Pink theorized.
It was
one.
Pink.
That's oh, what's the dealio with that?
Welcome to my TED Talk called What's the Dealio?
What's the Dealio? So Gretchen asked DJ if it was as miserable as he thought it'd be. He says it was infinitely more miserable than he ever could have imagined. And Gretchen can't believe his ingratitude. And he says, what part of F you mom wasn't clear? He calls himself a shitty kid, doesn't know enough about the world not to mess things up. He says a person is dead because of what he did. Initially, I thought, oh, fake Devin. They like actually killed a kid. But I think this is in reference to Nora's boyfriend.
Yeah.
He says, we destroyed their lives, not an accident. Devin might be an F up, but Gretchen is a psychopath.
Ooh. Woof. Burn. Otter.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
Psycho mom.
And then the detectives thank Raph to take him back to his room. Thanks for being a team player. We'll come get you in a few days, maybe even tomorrow. Raph sits on his bed, closes his eyes, and then Leah pops out. Says, don't scream.
Yeah, she has like wide eyes and she covers his mouth and she's like, rah! Like, oh my God, like that was terrifying.
Yeah, like is she still on the beach on the island? Like she's looking, you know, rough. I mean, I know we've already seen, you know, she was able to get out of room at the end of season one and all that, but
yeah,
I was scared for him here.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the end of episode one of season two. Oh
God. We are 1/8 of the way through.
Yeah, less shorter episode runtime this season. They cut it down from 10 to 8. Yeah. So
yeah, we'll perhaps see. Russian, you know, dolling your episode count.
Maybe.
Yeah. I guess I'm fine with that. The episodes are pretty lengthy, so it doesn't feel like we're like missing anything. Ariel's just like, please don't make me watch 10 days in a row.
I am absolutely fine with that. Like to your point, Jess, yeah. Like the episodes are, not all of them are an hour, but some of them are pretty close, like 56, yeah. 55 an hour. You're just like, woof. Like, yeah, fine. Give me the 8. Give me the 6, you know.
Ariel, stop it. You stop it right now.
Give me the TV movie.
I did read an article of somebody who didn't spoil anything, but had watched the whole season and was giving their like, okay, what's it? You know, what can you say?
You're so brave.
I know. But, well, it said no spoilers. But they said they very much felt the two episodes were missing. So I'm a little, and I think, you know,
it's because we have two groups now we have to cover. Yeah, like, we have a voice.
So it's really only 4 episodes and 4 episodes. Like, 4 and 4.
Not only are we two groups, but we're also based essentially kind of maybe 4 timelines. Boys on the island, girls on the island, boys in the bunker, girls in the bunker. Although we just saw Leah and Raph like will interact in the bunker, but like it's a lot for the show. They've essentially added 8 new main characters, which is like a lot.
It's a high wire act. Thankfully, they killed one of them. Or actually, no, they didn't.
Thankfully,
they didn't kill anyone. DJ's they did gone. Kill off Nora, but that's it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Yeah, but like I'm really excited for season 2. Like, I think. We'll see TBD on if them adding in the boys as a full new group is gonna work for us or not. I think one episode in, it's a little bit tough to tell. I'm curious about these boys. I don't think, to me, I feel like, and it could just be because the first time I watched The Wild, I binged it. But I will say I thought the girls were more distinctly different from one another after one episode than the boys are. I'm having a tougher time telling the difference between all of the boys, and not because there's not diverse casting, and not because of any of that, because again, commendable for the show, diverse casting on the boys side as well. But it's more just like, because we didn't get a full episode of just boys, it's hard to delineate them from one another.
Yeah. But I also think, I think they've done, you know, last season, I don't know, because like it takes a while for, like, I feel like we didn't really like Marty's obviously there, but it's not till like way later that we get like a Marty episode. Yeah. So I feel like I don't know. I feel like I have a good grasp of the boy side, and I do feel like they're pretty distinct. And I like the montage where Raph is like, here's all the things that we want it to be, and like cutting to each of them, like kind of giving us insight into each of their a thing that they're sort of struggling with. I thought it was pretty well done, knowing that like there are limitations with how much they can do.
I honestly feel like I'm in the middle, where like I feel that I still can't really tell them apart. And obviously I don't know the names. I only know the names of their girlfriends, but I do appreciate that, like, instead of getting like one moment, I did get like a very good sense of like a general emotional reality and range of like where the different boys stand, which I think is hard to do. And again, I don't know any of their names. Who knows how that will go throughout the season, But I hope going forward that there is no single boys episode. And by that, I mean like all only just boys without the girls, because that would that would make me sad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. That. Well, we'll be back tomorrow with episode 2, day 34/12. Let's give our plugs today, and then we probably won't do full plugs.
Then never again.
We'll do it at the end. Jess, where can people find you? What are you up to?
Yes. Hi. You could find me at the Jess Sterling. We're taking this month off of Community Building, which is a podcast where we talk about the show Community, me and Josh Wiggler. We are off this month simply because vacations and schedules and all those other things. But we will be back in June. We're continuing on our coverage of season 3. So go check that out. Beyond that, I'm also covering The Flight Attendant, which is an HBO show. I'm covering that with Sarah Ferguson. Been tons of fun. We are over halfway through the second season for that show. And of course, you can always find me at Shit 90 Shows Taught Me with my co-host Sarah Ferguson, where we cover all sorts of 90s content, Boy Meets World, Dawson's Creek, other 90s movies. We just reached our 200th podcast on that podcast. So go check that out. Tons of fun. That's at Shit 90s Pod if you're looking to find all that content there. And of course, you could always find me in the Post Show Recaps Discord. It's where I spend the majority of any of my social media time. You could join us at postshowrecaps.com/Patreon. We have a dedicated thread for the wilds. You could get in your little speculations and your theories and, you know, talk about all that stuff. So definitely join us there. It's tons of fun.
Ariel, what about you?
I am on Twitter at That Other Ariel. I am also covering other stuff for Pusher Recaps. I do movies every week with my pal Grace. Hi. I ever heard of her? We covered Ambulance this week. Covering the back half of the first season of Pachinko. That will be out soon, next couple of days, because the season finale already aired. That has been renewed for season 2. I think that's everything that I can think of besides the thing that we're on now.
You see The Staircase? Did you say that one?
I didn't say The Staircase, Grace. We should podcast together. I am
Panico.
Just started covering, God, this is horrible. I just started covering the limited series The Staircase, based on the awful true crime with my co-host Marissa. So that there's one episode out already. There will be 3 episodes total for this week, and then we'll be weekly episodic going forward.
I'm covering Winning Time. We're almost done. One more episode to go, and then that's it for HBO's Winning Time, although it did get renewed for season 2. Movies, Russian Doll, The Wilds, the show that we just podcasted about. And over on Rob is a Podcast, I'm covering sports with the Off Speed Podcast. This week I had a lovely conversation with Peter, Shannon Gus's husband, to talk about Australian rules football. And Lavina came on at the end of the show to talk about her top 5 storylines heading into the NHL playoffs. So check that episode out. I thought it was a lot of fun. I picked a new team that Peter then immediately laughed at me, but they have a Canadian, the best Canadian player. So I had to pick them. And I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace for everything else I am doing. All right. Until tomorrow, we'll see ya. Get wild. Bye-bye.
'Hey, Drew Scott here. And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.